Well, good morning, Rob. Good morning.
Good morning, Doug.
Morning, common good listeners. Good morning, common gooders. Rob, I got to tell you, I hold you in contempt today. With the greatest level, the greatest level of contempt, do I treat you like a former president?
That's not a good sign. You know, they say that when married couples start treating each other with contempt, that's the sign that things are going south.
Yeah, yeah. Well, or that you're way south. Yeah,
you are. Yeah, or yeah.
You're seeing flamingos when you when that's happened. Well, we bring all this up not to jump right into it, but once again, the legal system has had to say to the person who used to be the head of the judicial system that you have broken the law, that you have violated court orders, you are now. The order that you have violated is the order given to you by a judge, which in this country we call contempt.
Yeah. So maybe for those that haven't seen, or, you know, especially those that are live, because I imagine it will be all over later. But Donald Trump has been held in contempt of court for violating the gag order put on him by Judge Juan Merchan, who is the judge in the hush money trial, just so we kind of keep our Donald Trump.
Don't tell anybody about the money. I love it. The hush money.
Yeah. I wish that worked.
Been hush. I mean, like that guy has ever been anything close to hush.
Yeah. I'd like to pay my kids hush money, you know, like, oh. Yeah, seriously. He's been held in contempt of court for violating the gag order. Gag order is he's been told that he's not allowed to talk about witnesses,
jurors,
court personnel or their families. And of course he has, you know, done all of that. So he's been fined $9,000, which he doesn't have. And
well, Don, we got that in Sleepy Don. We've got that in common. I needed $9,000 right now too, I'd also have a tough time, you know?
Yeah. He violated the gag order because the guy just cannot follow a lawful command.
No,
you know, you get these, you know, thin blue line folks, the mm-hmm. Blue Lives Matter mm-hmm. folks, the Law mm-hmm. and Order folks.
Wow.
We're
going big.
Hey, you know, like, just comply, you know?
If an officer tells you what to do, just do what they do, and this won't happen to you, George, or anybody else. Yeah.
That's right. Hey, Don, an officer of the court has told you what to do. How about you just comply? How about you just do it?
It's a great take.
No.
I'm trying to find your hot take.
Hot take.
There it is. Rob Ryersey. Why don't you just comply and don't be in contempt?
That's right. Josie, obey Don. Right away, Don.
Well, yeah, look, and he's been pushing. Let's start with the niceties before we get into this.
Yeah.
It's April 30th. Mm. That's Tuesday, so it's Common Good Politics here on the Common Good Podcast. It's going to be mid-60s and some breaks in the sun, in the clouds for sun today, Minnesota, after a rainy weekend to give the grass a head start on the rest of us. And it's April 30th, as I mentioned, so if you are planning to do something in April, you got one day. You have whatever number of hours are left today. If you're watching this tomorrow, in our tomorrow, in other words, if you're a future traveler, it's too late. You didn't get it done in April. Rob, how are things squirreled away somewhere outside of Fayetteville, Arkansas? And do you have anything that's on your, I needed to do this in April, that's now not going to get done?
No. And things outside of Fayetteville, Arkansas are absolutely beautiful. We also had a rainy weekend, and we got to the low 80s yesterday. It's going to be the high 70s today, and the plants in the garden just loved it. You know, getting some nice drink, and then the heat, and So I'm probably going to have to mow today because, you know, things are taking off. But spent, got done with work yesterday and said to Vanessa, like, hey, I'm going to mow, I think. And she was like, hey, how about instead of mowing, how about you help me weed? And so we weeded.
Wow. He's out there hands and knees, just
hands and knees. Yep. Out there, like edging the garden, getting stuff done. And just, man, it looks great.
Just Adam and Eve out there, just pulling up the soil, thinking about childbirth and all the curses, curse in the ground and the curse in the womb.
That's right. And you know, but for us, our cats catch the snakes in the backyard. And,
Really?
Yeah.
I've never owned a cat. I mean, I grew up with a cat. It was clear. Yeah. I didn't own the cat. The cat owned me. I was a child in the family. My parents and the cat were a unit. And then there was my sister and I. I didn't own that cat.
Totally.
I lived with a cat.
Yeah.
but it was an indoor only cat. Indoor cats.
Yeah. We have a couple of really wonderful indoor outdoor cats. One of whom is, if people might remember, Puppy, is recovering really well. Her hair starting to grow back after, you know, her gunshot wound that she suffered. She's doing all right.
I just love the idea. We have two cats. Some people might remember Puppy. First of all, you name your cat Puppy?
Well, my children. Yeah.
Okay. And and then the people would be remembering the story. I bet Yabbits does.
Puppy,
who I know are watching right now.
Yes.
And are frequent.
My cat, our cat, was shot. And we thought we were gonna have to
it's tragic.
Yeah, we thought we were gonna have to have her her leg amputated. Instead, an amazing team of doctors put a rod in there, and she walks with a little bit of a limp now, but she gets around and her hair is growing back and she's doing great. And we haven't, you know, she was shot. So like, we're not going to like dig a big gravel pit and, you know, take her down in there and, you know, I don't know, you know, just eliminate any problems that might exist, like, I don't know, a governor of one of the, I don't even know which Dakota it is.
South Dakota.
South? Is it South?
Yeah.
Why are there two Dakotas?
It's big and it's a lot of space. And
there's other big states. I don't think there should be two Dakotas.
I think there should be two Texases and two Californias and two Floridas. I go the other way on that. Let's chop these pieces up into biteable sizes. You know, it's like cutting up food for a toddler. Let's chop them up.
I don't know. I got a totally, that it was a terrible transition there that I was making.
No, it was a good one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I want to circle back to one other thing. When I asked you, are there any things in April that you don't have done yet? You had this like dramatic pause. I wish we could do, you know, instant video capture and replay it for you. And you're like, no, like I don't
leave stuff undone.
Okay. That's a piece of your, So I just wanted to note that for anybody else who felt the energy coming through their AirPods, like, whoa, Rob is making it clear he doesn't run a month.
What are you suggesting, Doug?
All right, so we do have to get to the governor of Texas here in a minute, and we are going to talk about this. I see Micah Eli on YouTube in the chat says Donald Trump is winning the polls. There are a number of polls that come out that say things like this percentage of people say they might vote for Trump and this percentage say they won't for sure vote for him and they might vote for Biden and they for sure won't. And those numbers do look like that. And we're going to talk about what we all have to do to make sure that the hostile takeover of a very fine country doesn't continue with the insurrectionist-loving MAGA-isms. So we will be talking about that as we go. I just want to make sure people know that that's coming. But let's stick on Don's, on Dozy Don's experience in court this week. He is continuing to be humiliated by having to have his lawyers argue, no, Donald Trump paid $120,000 to Stormy Daniels so she wouldn't tell them about an affair so Melania wouldn't find out. His best bet here is, I was just lying to my wife, who, by the way, I might go hot take level on this, who, by the way, might know something about Don's behavior of having sexual affairs with someone while married to another person, because that's what they did.
Yeah.
Just going to let that one sit there for a minute for all the moralists out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's just let that sit there for a minute. What example are we setting by letting people in drag read stories to kids in libraries? What story are we telling about America? Not to be at all bothered by the fact that the guy's in court saying, I didn't violate campaign finance law and run a scheme to falsify business records as a part of that cover-up. I was running that cover-up so my wife, who I also used as the person that I violated my marital commitments with, wouldn't find out that I was doing the same thing to her. Under the argument, it didn't actually happen. Apparently, Dozy Don is so capable of being extorted, follow this thinking for a minute, that he will pay money in a complex scheme involving dozens of people to keep someone from saying something that's not true. If that's the case, what would he do if Saudi Arabia came and said, we're going to say something that's not true unless you do this as a president? He's showing himself either to be someone who falsified records to cover up so his wife doesn't find out, or to cover up so that it doesn't violate campaign finance laws, or he's so susceptible to being blackmailed that Stormy Daniels can take the guy for $120,000 and then end him up in court for violating the law. Oh, and also Karen McDougal as well. Multiple people can extort this man to pay them money to not tell people things that he didn't do. This is best case argument for the guy. It is just truly stunning to me.
Yep.
Just
yeah, it really is crazy stunning. That when your best argument is we're just trying to hide this from my wife.
I didn't do it. I just didn't want my wife to hear that someone said I did it. Can we talk about the trust level between you and your wife now and why that trust level might be a little low?
Yeah. And I just think about my own marriage. It feels like keeping something from Vanessa is like, that's the high crime. Like we're talking high crimes and misdemeanors.
Yeah.
Like, trying to keep something from her, like that's yeah.
And why does your wife not trust you that you would say, hey, sweetie, we've got a situation going on. You know, I'm a public person. You know, people are coming after me all the time. This person is making up things that are absolutely not true. It's going to come out, but it's just flagrantly untrue. You're going to stick with me, right? When someone lies about me. This is Donald Trump, who believes people are lying about him all the time. But instead of him saying, people are making up other stories about me, it's not true. There's one picture of me with her, maybe two or three, but it's totally not true. He says, I'm going to pay her $120,000 through my lawyer, through a shell corp, and then maybe involves the National Enquirer, so my wife doesn't find out about something that's not true. I mean, this just gets to the heart of the guy. And if we're going to try to prevent America from being taken over in a hostile attack by MAGAism, it all revolves around this guy. Look, if they were just rotating in characters, the MAGA people, great. But I'm on Donald Trump's text list, and I get texts from him multiple times a day. Simply because I know they have to pay for those, and the little bit I can do is just every time one comes in, I just look at how pathetic it is. Should I wear camo to court today? And I know what they're doing. I know how they're, you know, I get their ladder of engagement and all that. But they got to spend a little bit of that money on a 612 area code. And I just...
Should I wear camo to court today? Is that seriously a text?
Yeah.
Did you reply yes?
I don't click on the links. I don't want them to gain any metadata.
I
want it to be a waste of money. So I don't click on it. But this is what we're literally dealing with right now, is a court case that Donnie falls asleep in, and he's being humiliated by former colleagues, by former lawyers, by former friends. It's just brutal. And the fact that it's not on television is the only thing saving this guy. If this were on television, it would be all day long coverage, and people would be rolling it in little snippets from now until eternity. And it's just really a shame that this can't be televised as public service, if nothing else. Mm-hmm. Have you kept up on the trial at all?
I mean, how can you not? Like, it's a pretty significant thing when a former president is tried in criminal court. I've been following along.
Yeah. Anything get catching your eye out of it?
First of all, any presidential scandal that involves a McDougal makes me think of Whitewater and Susan McDougal. Remember, I don't know if it's Susan McDougal. Totally. Is that name ring a bell?
Yeah, distant cousin to Karen, or
yeah. And I think about all of that.
All of it.
Law firm stuff. Yeah, which was, you know, a complicated scandal to wrap your head around. You know, there's property that's being sold.
Not complicated.
And you know, like, I think, Doug, was it this one that I said that, like, this was the most consequential trial that he was going through because, well, I don't know. Maybe I can't remember.
Somebody's got to pay attention to what we're saying.
I know. Seriously. I really, truly need to remember. I'm distracted by some breaking news that we have, Doug.
Oh, more breaking news.
More breaking news. Yeah. Democrats in the House of Representatives, Hakeem Jeffries, Democratic leader, Catherine Clark, Democratic whip, Pete Aguilar, Democratic caucus chair, released a statement saying that the Democratic caucus will vote to table any motion to vacate the chair, the Speaker of the House.
Wow.
Democrats coming out in support of Mike Johnson, saving Mike Johnson's bacon, and ensuring that he will likely finish this term as Speaker of the House.
The palace intrigue inside the House of Representatives is at fevered pitch. I mean, this somebody's paying a lot of attention, keeping all the records, and they're going to write the tell all of this. And I bet it's going to be a doozy. Yeah. Like, whatever, whether it's a movie or a HBO series around this whole period of time, you know, the taking down of Kevin McCarthy, it's just to people like you and I, and maybe people who watch this, will just be fascinating. I will devour it.
I imagine that our friend Billy is already working on it.
I would hope Billy Ray has his fingers on the keyboard right now when he gets done with the January 6th.
That's right. So Donald Trump, we've kind of danced around this Christy Noem thing in in one of the Dakotas, where the governor of a Dakota has a new book coming out. Again, this is real common. You write a book before an election, gives you the chance, gives you an excuse to travel the country and do appearances and, you know, raise your profile, and you get on TV and all of that because she wants to be vice president. But in the book, she told stories about shooting a dog and a goat, and apparently is also told stories about shooting horses. And it's just like
apparently bizarre in 10 years, even in the conservative hunting culture world.
So when you think about like potential vice presidents for Donald Trump, he's going to choose a woman. That's, you know, without question. Katie Britt totally bombed the State of the Union response.
Yep.
Kristi Noem, I don't know, shot a dog. I don't know.
And what's going to keep some conservatives from going with her is not that she, like Donald Trump, is having an extramarital affair, in her case, with Corey Lewandowski. It's the shooting of the dog.
Yeah.
Not the petting of the dog.
I guess Carrie Lake is still a possibility.
No, they got real conflict between the two of them around Arizona.
So, yeah. I mean.
Donnie doesn't do well with women.
We're going through like potential VPs, like, you know, he goes through wives. Tulsi Gabbard, former Democratic congresswoman and presidential candidate, Tulsi Gabbard has said that she would say yes if John called.
She would be the best pick in my book. Right, currently she would be a great pick to give some Democratic women permission to say Donald Trump's okay, because she's a former Democrat.
All of this.
Former, and also a Bernie supporter, hardcore. Yeah. So all those Bernie people that supported Trump in 2016, it's time for them to come home with Tulsi.
And then there's Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
You're like Old Faithful, the old station wagon. Like, let's quit with the race cars. You know those engines are expensive and hard to tune up. Just go with Old Faithful.
Best she got is that she spent $19,000 on a podium.
Yeah, which is way better than spending it on a porn star. So I mean, real safety.
Just saying.
I think you could be onto something. I mean, that could be quite a match between. Sarah and Tulsi. Yeah, that could be a real. Now this thing about Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, because remember, you didn't remember the previous governor of North Dakota who was running for president.
His name was Doug. I got that.
It was. I only know about this because I heard news stories about comedians talking about it. Like, I am way down on the information slide on this. So I want to be perfectly clear that I don't know what's in there. I only know the bits as they were presented in late night TV show monologues and then gaffed about by newsy people on MSNBC this morning. Right. So that's how far I am. I have not kept up on Kristi Noem's autobiography, nor her hunting fetishes. But apparently she says the dog was not good for my hunting. So I don't know what happened. Something had to happen. But I think, you know, Republicans need to get back, Rob. Let's just be straight up here. In picking a vice presidential running mate, you don't want to pick someone who shoots a dog. You want to pick someone who shoots their hunting partner in the face. Come on. You don't think I've been waiting on this one all morning? You want the kind of stable-minded, trustworthy executive type who would shoot a hunting partner in the face.
Oh.
And if you have forgotten, our former vice president, father of the very well-known Liz Cheney, shot his hunting partner in the face while hunting.
So fantastic. That's so a bit. Great.
Somebody needs to make a little note and see if Britain can turn that into a TikTok. Where are we
so
in the
fantastic.
So 25
So minutes. All this notwithstanding, Donald Trump's still leading in some polls. So.
Good point. And now to Heartland of America. Who
so
gives
what
a shit?
Now?
Nobody. All right. So we're this is
what
this
do you
is
make,
to you,
what do you
Micah
make of
Eli.
This stuff that, what do you make of this stuff that Trump is leading in some polls?
Well, I pay a little bit of attention just looking at the polls, and it part of the thing that doesn't matter is what happens in the states that are already decided. It only matters what happens in five states or maybe six. So that accounts for a lot. There are some polls in some of those states, that being Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, maybe Utah or Nevada. You know what I tend to do? I tend to do the Utah-Nevada thing the way you can't tell the Dakotas apart, and me the Virginias, the Virginia and the West Virginia. I just don't know where one ends and what the other one starts. I don't know what's happening with those. And sometimes when I've ridden my bike, I don't know where Mexico and New Mexico start. This is not obvious. those are the states where it matters. So some of this, like 52% of people say they'll never vote for Biden. Well, if that's predominantly in states where it's decided already how it's going, it doesn't matter. It only matters in the Electoral College states. Because our entire presidential election system is built around the Electoral College, whether we like it or not, and whether we think it represents the country well or not, doesn't make any difference. That's just what it is. So that's it. Then the other side of me is like, it is super scary that someone like Joe Biden, who I believe has some high-level accomplishments as the president, doing what he said he was going to do, has a lower bottom level of support than Trump does, that he's just so stubbornly high because people do not care. And I truly believe it's because a whole bunch of Republicans just hate Democrats, any of them, more than anything Trump does. Bill Barr being just case in point. That guy basically saying, I know I said Donald Trump was a threat to democracy, but it's still better than Biden, is so insane and so just crazy talk. It's just, I hate Democrats so much. I would rather eat from the Donald Trump plate than eat from the Joe Biden plate. It's just outrageous. So I don't know. I guess that kind of captures it for me. And also, I don't believe polls. I just think I think they are accurate to a certain degree when taken immediately before people vote, which then what's the point? So I tend, they're just inaccurate to a level of predicting future behavior.
Yeah. Polls are often commissioned by news stations. News stations, networks, their number one priority is generating viewers,
mm-hmm.
because viewers means ratings. Ratings mean you can charge more for the commercials that air on your network. So the way to make more money, and all of these networks are businesses, the way to make more money is to increase viewership. Now, this frustrated me earlier during the NFL season. There was a game in which my Cleveland Browns were dominating their opponent, and I was loving it, relishing in it, enjoying every play as they had a commanding lead and were just, because we don't get a lot of that as Cleveland Browns fans. The network airing the game, however, about 5 minutes or 10 minutes really? Into the third quarter, jumped over to a more competitive game. Why? Because if something's not competitive, it's not interesting. And so I'm not saying I don't believe these polls. What I'm saying is the polls are often taken by people who have a vested interest in their results.
Like it.
And so the questions that get asked, the phrasing that gets done, asked, like one of the classic things you have to look at with a poll is checking the difference between was the people polled, are they registered voters or are they likely voters?
Yes.
Because there's typically a huge difference between those two results. You know, there's just so many factors here that it just makes me think I'm just not so sure.
Yeah.
And you know who else I think probably doesn't trust the polls all that much right now? Is Team Trump.
Team Trump, for sure.
Because if they thought they had this lead, you know, they would be, you know, if you're winning, you ignore everybody else. Team Trump is not ignoring Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Yeah.
Actually seems a little terrified of him. Begs his voters not to waste their votes on him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big story that Trump is out there really railing about RFK. Whatever they're doing on the inside, they think that guy could be a threat. And, you know, again, the margins make a big difference. 10,000 people in each of five states will likely decide this. So there's a theory that people have that, boy, you know, could this kind of guy pull 10,000 or 3,000 votes and something else pulls 6,000? And there you go. And you got it, you know. That's totally, totally possible. What blows me away about this polling, and I don't believe it, especially 538 kind of post polling, that style, is that the unfavorability rate of Biden is higher than the unfavorability rate of Trump. It's just insane to me. It can't all be coming from people just watching Fox News, right? That's another piece of this. People are like, well, over on Fox, like, not that many people watch Fox News. It's not that. And of those who do, 90% of them are already in the Trump category. It's just not. So I don't know. There's some. I'm with you. I'll just. Predicting human behavior is extraordinarily difficult.
Yep.
Predicting human behavior by asking people what their future behavior will be, the worst way to predict human behavior. Right? Like it's so old school. There's parables from Jesus about like the people who say yes, 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 and then don't do it. And the people who say no, I won't, and then later do it. Like it's so built into humanity.
Yes.
That this we idea are that like I called someone on the phone and asked them a series of questions, and based on their responses, I think I know what their behavior is going to be, including who are you going to vote for?
Yeah. We are notoriously bad narrators of our own lives.
Yes.
Unreliable narrators of our own lives.
Fair.
Doug, I have more breaking news.
No, but it just keeps coming.
It just keeps coming.
We need a ticker. We need a ticker on the bottom.
The judge has allowed Donald Trump to attend Barron Trump's graduation.
Oh, fantastic.
You know what this means?
He's going to totally doze off during that graduation. There's no doubt.
Well, you know, this means that he's actually going to have to attend the graduation now.
Totally has to go.
He wasn't going to go before.
He was like,
he's never going to go before.
I can't go to Barron's graduation. I have to be in court. The judge won't let me out. He's like, I could probably squeeze in a round of golf afterward too, but I can't make it. I can't get back down here to Florida. How could I do it? And the judge is like, no. Why don't you go ahead? As punishment for your contemptible activity toward this court, I hereby rule you can go to Barron's graduation. That's another great meme that should come up where the judge's ruling is, and I hereby rule you have to go to your son's graduation. Which to look, especially to old man Dozy Don, yeah, who's got a lot of kids, some that we know of. He has every parent by the time you get to your final kids has sort of, you know, the glow has worn off from any of the activities. And if any of you are youngest children, you know it more clearly mm-hmm. than, you know, someone yes. like me telling you about it. Just really like, I don't know, just yeah. go. Just, you'll be fine, you know.
Yeah.
My poor mom said that to me in 1973 on her birthday, September 17th. I was just driving her crazy at home. She's tired of the youngest kid. Just go outside. I went outside, climbed a tree, fell out of it, broke my leg, and was in a body cast for 3 months. Now, trapped in the house for 3 months.
Yeah.
Had to be hauled around. I mean, I didn't do it on purpose, just sort of happened. I'm just saying people know that they don't want to.
And you know, what we've got here is we've got an early contender for, you know, in the and David and I are on the same page. Early contender for like the biggest losers in the trial might be Barron. 'Cause like your dad's now coming to your graduation. That guy who's going to take all the attention away from everybody else, who's going to be, you know, Secret Service now. And
what school does he go to? Do you know? I don't know anything. I mean,
I'm sure it's some kind of private school of some kind.
I'm really uncomfortable actually talking about, I mean, not now that he's reached high school level at 18, maybe a little bit like just sort of like this, just kind of a fact that his dad has to go to his thing. But you know, this poor guy, this poor human being doesn't deserve any of this. Barron, I mean, like he doesn't. Poor guy. Do you think Dozy Don is a little irritated that they didn't ask him to be a commencement speaker? I might be the most famous person in the graduation ceremony.
Yeah.
And you picked that person? I mean, above whoever the valedictorian is or whoever's going to talk.
If these
are built around sort of a normal structure. But he wasn't asked. I mean, that's one of the great slights of all time.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Love it. Love it.
But
again, this is a guy who could not stay awake when they chose jurors who will decide whether or not he goes to jail. There's no way he stays awake while they announce, while they read the names of graduates. It's boring.
Look, I have fallen asleep in the hot sun. When I was a youth pastor, I used to go to graduations.
Yeah.
Like we'd have, you know, I ran a big youth ministry and there'd be, you know, lots of kids graduating, so you kind of had to go. And then you had to hit up, I think
I was a successful youth pastor.
60 or 70 open houses. Did you have open houses, graduation open houses? Were you?
Yes.
Oh, my Lanta, those things. But I had to go to those graduation ceremonies. And then because I was the youth pastor, I had to go to like the baccalaureate version, which was like the religious version of the thing, like a day before or something. Just the worst. So, you know, I dozed off in the hot sun at those things because they're just, and this was pre-telephones. I didn't have a phone in my hand and you couldn't legitimately bring a book or a magazine.
Yeah. All you have to read is the program. And you know what that has in it? The names.
The worst. Someone should take his phone from him. That should have been part of the judge's ruling too. We'll make a calendar exception. Go to your son's graduation.
Mm-hmm. No phone.
But you're going to turn your phone over to the sheriff. And you're going to sit by, you're going to sit right next to your wife, and nobody on the aisle. Like, you're on the aisle, and then it's your wife, you, and then your wife, and that's it. No one to whisper to other than hers. And if it's outside and they're, say, this, you know, we're a little concerned about the safety of the people because things could get a little stormy,
mm-hmm.
you need to just sit there and take it. And if a commencement mm-hmm. speaker doesn't come up with a series of phrases that would just make that awkward. So now I'm probably more interested in this graduation than the four of my own biological children. Certainly more than my own. Certainly more than my own. This is now somehow getting. All right. One more thing on Trump's ability to win. The Nikki Haley supporters in Pennsylvania, 100,000 of them or whatever, after it's already decided who the nominee is going to be, took time to fill out a ballot at home or to go to a polling place to just vote for her, even though she has dropped out. That's a big deal. That says to me, Pennsylvania is really going to be tough sledding for the Trump campaign. Yep. This Nikki, and if she can just resist Bill barring this thing and just stay silent and not endorse the guy, that would go a really, really, really long way to the.
I don't think she's going to be able to do that though.
Really? You think she'll cave?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Yeah, I do. Yeah. Wow. I'm shocked that Mike Pence hasn't caved. These folks are just.
They might wait till the convention, you mean?
Yeah.
And then come up with maybe when they're all talking in their little WhatsApp group or their text mm-hmm. group between them, and Bill's like, all right, look, I'll get out there first. Nobody likes me. No one's ever going to like me. I don't like me. I'll get out there first, soften the field. So when you guys all come, it won't seem shocking.
Yeah.
Maybe that's been the deal.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Can we talk a little bit about this Gaza this Gaza situation? Look, it sounds like there's possibility of a ceasefire. Mm-hmm. The government of Israel are out of their minds and out of moral standing, in my view. It's completely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Hamas, no interest in bringing an end to this and releasing these hostages. It's just it's terrible. Hamas ordered the mass killing of Israelis on October 7th, and now are holding hostages since then. Israel is committing war crimes in response to this. This whole thing is so messed. And then on certain campuses, there are absolute pro-Palestinian sufferers rallies that bend into anti-Nation of Israel rallies, that bend into anti-Jewish rallies.
Yeah.
And it's really a problem. Mm-hmm. On many of these certain campuses, Jewish students feel and are hearing things that are just full-on anti-Semitic and all the rest. It's just really, really, it's something. And then I had to ask my AI assistant today, how many four-year colleges and universities are there in the United States? More than 6,000. How many of them have these protests going on? Less than 5. So there's this, but because it's Columbia, or maybe people thought George Washington University or Northwestern, and then on those campuses, where 30,000 students plus at Columbia and 200 people involved in the protests, it's less than a percent. It's this weird fractional thing that's popping into popular culture. And my wife is in the kitchen, like, look at these rallies going on in Columbia and people chanting, "We will not be moved." And from the river, from the, from the, uh, from the ocean to the sea, from the river to the sea. What's the phrase they say that's going
to
eliminate?
From the river to the sea, Palestine is all I see.
Which is, you know, framing about not having Israel not existing as a nation inside the space, like that stuff going on. It's just, I don't know. It's of course people should say to their institutions that they're involved in, especially that they're a part of, like a university, because it has a lot to do with identity, that if they're investing in a nation that is committing war crimes, they should stop it 100%. Yeah, people should stop investing in Israel until the nation of Israel government decides it's going to stop committing war crimes. I'm all there. But man, Rob, I'll tell you, this thing is dipping into a kind of inability for a lot of people to separate the nation of Israel from the behavior of its government and the behavior of the government from people who are, whose heritage goes back to that people of that nation. And it's a real problem. And it shows the strong anti-Semitic narrative that's in this country that my rabbi friends have been telling me about for 30 years. And I've believed them, but not had as much data to support it as they've talked about it. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, first of all, Can we just say that apparently that there are students taking a tour of this building in Columbia?
That's a deep cut joke right there.
Thank you.
You know, if you didn't know better, you'd think it was just a new student orientation visit.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Listen. This remains tremendously complicated on so many levels.
Yep.
And our inability to talk about this stuff with nuance makes it really, really more difficult. We have a history here in the United States of student protests. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
We also have a history here in the United States of governments and authorities overreacting to student protests. And something tells me that we haven't learned all those lessons yet either. The people that want to, I think there's a both and with the anti-Semitism. There is absolutely, anti-Semitism on display in some of these protests by some of these protesters. And there is also the unnuanced position of if you question Israel, you're anti-Semitic.
Yeah, that's right.
Which, though, it's a little bit of like the boy who cries wolf, because you can't call everything anti-Semitism. That desensitizes us to the real anti-Semitism that needs to be called out.
Yeah.
Opposing Netanyahu and what Israel is doing, wanting you know, the people of Gaza to not be under fire, wanting there to be some kind of Palestinian state. All of the, like, those things are in and of themselves are not anti-Semitic,
right?
And there, I think there's some disingenuous people who are capitalizing on all of this to reinforce a narrative that, you know, it's just, the whole thing is complicated and distressing in so many ways.
Yeah. It's a real mess. And then our perception of where people are on it and how much news coverage it gets and all the rest is also a part of the media, an indicator of what the media thinks is important.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Hundreds of Columbia students, really different than when it's hundreds of indigenous people in South Dakota talking about issues, right?
Yeah.
Like no one's acting like, well, that's the future of America. But somehow, you know, in the elite education systems, it matters because we think that this really represents the future of America in a way that, I don't know, there are so many levels to this stuff, you know, about the topics itself, about how it gets covered, about whose opinion we think matters, how many people do we think this matters about and for, how students themselves feel on campuses. And I'll just, the number of Jewish friends that I have and those who work in Jewish communities who have said for years to me, being Jewish in America comes with a great level of stress, and it's hard to comprehend. I've never heard any of them compare it to the stress that there is for racist tendencies, or even as far as what a lot of women feel. But you start to compound some of these issues, and they're like, you just have to understand there's a racist tone to a lot of anti-Semitism. There's a real lack of safety. We are targeted people by outsiders. Like normally church attacks, when someone goes into a church and shoots them up, it's somebody connected to that church. But when it happens in a Jewish synagogue, it's somebody who wants to eliminate the Jews. That when rallies are happening, the Jews will not replace it. Like all this stuff that's in there, it is... Dude, I don't know. Like, we have so many unsettled issues in this country, and this one comes up. And you're exactly right that it's hard then to know when it's a true political debate, and what do you get to say? I mean, I know some Jewish people who've said they're really anti-war, they're really against the government. But if they also say they believe in a two-state solution, they're excluded from being a part of any of these groups. Yeah. And so there is a hardcore movement that is commanding news attention and drawing in a lot of people and using a lot of social media to recruit an opinion of this that, I don't know, it's all bad. And what needs to happen is the war and the fighting and the genocide needs to stop.
Yes.
The mass murder from Hamas to Israel and the response of murder from Israel on Hamas and people in Gaza has to stop.
Yes.
We can't be, you know... This isn't the only, how the response isn't the only issue. The issue is the friggin' issue. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. For sure.
Okay. All right. Well, Peggy, Yabitz, Alex, Kimberly, Squirrely Prepper Lifestyle.
Micah.
Thanks all of you for being in the YouTube chat. We appreciate y'all being a part of this. And those of you that are anywhere else and not on YouTube,
David,
you can watch other places. It just helps us if you watch over on YouTube. And then if you like and share with your friends, trick the algorithm and
smash that subscribe button.
And share with your friends. But most of all, go out and do something for the common good today and keep up with us. We're going to be heading down to the border next week, running some border experiences, which we'll be glad to report back to you all on. And we're going to be out and about in the states that we think matter most. And Yabitz, I saw your comment about Ohio.
It matters.
You're not going to fool me again.
Yeah, we are.
No.
All right.
It's like a fad diet. Like, no, no, I'm not.
I just can't quit you, Ohio. Just can't quit you.
Oh, I mean, what state's not flippable is the same answer as what's round on the outside and high in the middle. All right. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. Good night.
Bye.